We're going to continue on Stay Rooted, for I know this week and next that the Lord has just dropped some things into my heart. And I believe Teresa read this last week when we were sharing the scripture, but it's very fitting for tonight. Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Before you're seated, the Psalms are comprised of laments, of repentance, cries of distress, also songs of victory and songs of deliverance and praise, declaring the faithfulness of God. And this is a song that we sing out of Psalms 19. And the beauty to me of singing, I know Brother Crabb alluded to this of songs that he had sung in children's church that still resonate with you, and they do with me as well. And this is one of those. And I believe when we even sing the scripture, it causes us to resonate and ponder them even in a different matter and help us to memorize them. So this is a song we have done here before, but it is right out of the Word. It's going to be up on the screen, right out of Psalms 19. You ready? Sing with me. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And we're going to stop there on that, but let's pray this evening before we delve into the main part of the teaching. Lord, we honor you tonight. We honor you. We're so thankful for your presence. We're so thankful for everyone that is in this room. Holy Spirit, thank you for opening up the Word to us tonight, teaching us the revelation of God and His Word, and helping us to grow and become rooted thereby. I pray that none of us will leave the way that we came in, but that this Word will become engrafted deep within us, and it'll just cause us to hunger for more of you. I pray that you redeem our time tonight, that everything that needs to be said would be said, and God, that we would just be vessels for you to flow through. In your mighty name, amen. You can be seated. We're going to talk about stay rooted. I read recently where men do not usually reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. When you look over in this passage in Psalms 19, it gives us six descriptive titles of the Word of God: the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandment, the fear, and the judgments. And for each one of these descriptive titles, there's a divine effect that is declared. His law converts the soul. The gospel has the power to save, heal, and deliver. His testimony gives wisdom to every age. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, your social status. His voice, his word, is like the sound of many waters. That's why we can read it, and it doesn't matter where we're at in life or what we're dealing with, it can minister to us. His word, the statutes are right, they produce joy. His commandments is pure, and it gives light to the eyes of the heart. You know, we know his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, endures forever, and it produces purity within us. The judgments of the Lord are true, they're righteous, they're fair. Righteousness and justice are the very foundation of the throne of God. His word will satisfy the very longings of our soul. And the Bible tells us to what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. There's something about this word that satisfies. His precepts warn us of trouble and teach us to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There is great blessing when we hide. There's reward when we hide the word of God in our hearts. I love what C.H. Spurgeon said. He said, the Bible should be our mentor, our monitor, our remembrance, and the keeper of our conscience. Our mentor and our monitor. One of the most important practicums or spiritual disciplines to becoming rooted in his word is meditating on it until it becomes our delight, not our duty. And we looked at this last week. I'm going to briefly touch on it before I move on. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates. How often?
Day and night.
And then the psalmist gives us this beautiful word picture of what happens when we meditate on the word and we apply it to our life. He said, you're going to be like a tree planted or rooted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Jesus describes the rooted life this way. In Luke, he said, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently against the house. It could not shake it because it was founded upon the rock. We are living in a shaking time right now. There's a lot happening all around us all the time. Things that we can see, and for everything that we can see, there's a lot that we can't see that I believe God is protecting us from. We've talked a lot out of Matthew about the Lord's Prayer being a kingdom prayer. His word is a kingdom book. And when you look in its pages, the glory of God is revealed. You know, when you look over in John 1:1, many of you could quote it with me. In the beginning was the word. And the word was God. And the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Then when you go down to verse 14, it said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we meditate on the word of God, when we open this pages, it's like looking in the face of God. It's so powerful. So when we meditate on it, it will not only transform us, but it will transport us from glory to glory, faith to faith, and strength to strength. It's what'll carry us through all seasons at all times. And there are a lot of seasons of life, aren't there, sis? A lot of things that we have to go through, but not only will it transform us, but it will transport us. When you look in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all, say that with me, all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I don't know if you do this. I do, and I believe God works this way. But there are times when I will pray, Lord, show me your glory. I just want to see your glory. And then I'm reminded, if I open his book, I'm going to see his glory. And then sometimes I pray, Lord, I want to know your will. And then I feel the Spirit of God nudging me, open the book, because his word is his will. I don't have to wonder or question or second guess. I don't even argue about it anymore. There are people that like to argue about things. They want to prove whatever. If it's in this book, we don't need to argue about it. It's his will. And sometimes I just need refreshing. Are you ever there? You just need refreshing. You just want a word from the Lord. Lord, give me a word. Send somebody to give me a word. And he's like, open your word and read it and meditate on it. This is the perfect law of liberty. We've got to stay rooted and grounded. We've got to meditate on it, pray it, apply it so that we can grow up in Christ and walk in kingdom power and authority. We talk a lot, and we do, we teach it, we preach it, of how important spiritual fellowship is. It's biblical, it's needed. We talk about worship, and I'm going to be talking about that again coming up. We talk about it. We center our services around it. It's what we were made to do. We talk about prayer, and we know that prayer is our lifeline. It's our communion with the Lord. But none of these spiritual actions will produce the deep roots in us until we get the engrafted word in us and we are fueled in our faith by the word of God. If we don't, we'll stay shallow and we'll be blown with every wind of doctrine that comes along. We'll be easily convinced of things that aren't of Christ if we don't get rooted in the word. When you look at Psalms 19 and 7, it says you're looking into the perfect law of liberty when you open his word. It'll convert the soul. It lacks nothing in its power to change the heart of a man or a woman, not just in salvation, but in anything that we need in our life. His word is like a hammer. It's a scalpel. It's a mirror. It's a light. It's so many different things. And when we look into it, it changes us. The moral law and righteousness that's contained in the word of God has the power to transform a nation. That's why this nation was founded on God. When you go back and you look in the history and you listen to the early leaders and presidents and all of those, they use the word. We were founded there and somehow we've moved away. So the church has to get back in the word and get the word in us so that we walk in it everywhere we go, diffusing the fragrance of God, calling heaven back into earth. That's what's going to transform and change. We've got to keep praying. This word can resurrect dry, dead bones and revive the weary soul. When you look at James 1:22, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we just hear it and we don't do it, we're deceiving ourselves. There's action that has to take place. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. It's just us. That's all we see. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But the one who looks into the word of God, the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in all he does. The perfect law of liberty is also tied to responsibility. We have a responsibility. Galatians 5:1 tells us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So there's privilege and there's blessing and there's reward, but there's also responsibility to the children of God that we are to walk in. We have to stand fast in what we know to be true. Verse 13 says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Though we're no longer under the Levitical law, we've been freed from the law of sin and death through Jesus' death on the cross, and we live in the dispensation of grace, we are blessed. Grace is still governed by the word of God and by the moral law of God. It's not a ticket for us to sin, but to pattern our lives after the things of God. Paul asked this question in Romans 6. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? You know, I was thinking tonight, I know it's a Wednesday night and y'all are like, we're here, it's a Wednesday night. I'm going to lead you someplace that I feel like God wants to do something very powerful this evening on a Wednesday night. But we are living in a time of darkness, a time of shaking, a time when every one of us in this room know people that were once on fire for God that aren't even serving God now. So every single one of us have to keep ourselves in check. And it made me think of Jude again. He's the brother of James, the half-brother of Jesus, and there's a little book towards the back of the New Testament that he writes, and in this greeting to Christians, he prays that mercy, peace, and love would be multiplied to them, and I pray that over us tonight for the experience of a greater measure of the love of Christ in his mercy and in his grace, but that doesn't just happen, does it? We must decrease so he can increase. There again is the responsibility of allowing the word to do a deep work within us. But Jude gives us this somber warning. He's like, I wanted to write to you about our common salvation. I wanted to encourage you. That's what I wanted to do more than anything. But he said, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, to make it a priority. He said there are those that were already appointed beforehand that have slipped in, they've crept in, they're sitting among you unaware. They've been destined for this a long time ago. They turn the grace of God into a lie. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and they lead people captive. And listen to how Jude explains or describes these teachers: apostate, rebellious, clouds without water. Now, we're talking about being rooted. The scripture says that they are twice dead and pulled up by the roots. In other words, there were some that at one time had a relationship with the Lord, and now they're walk away and they're leading people into deception, into the lies that they have bought. And I understand that, and I believe that God is doing something powerful in the church, but there's this urgency to echo what Jude said in verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. And I want you to catch verse 20, because I'm going to stay here for just a bit. But you, beloved, talking to his church, talking to the Christian, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. There's that responsibility. There's a part that we play. It's not enough just to come to church. We've got to get in the Word, let the Word get in us, and then we've got to pray and learn to pray that Word. And it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion. Now, this is where I believe, and Pastor's been speaking a lot about even the lost, is having that compassion for our prodigals and for those that have walked away or those that don't even know the Lord. He said, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled from the flesh. I believe we need to feel the urgency for prayer and intercession in the day that we're living in. We need the power and the presence of Holy Spirit to help us so that we can not only build our own selves up, but that we can pray in the Spirit, calling our prodigals back, ministering to our lost neighbors and our friend. And here's where I want to center for just a moment. If you are a child of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you. Why don't you just say that? That same Spirit now dwells in me. Say that. It's a declaration. I want you to do that so that you can hear and by faith begin to receive and understand what the Lord is saying. He dwells in you, and he's telling us to build our most holy faith. How? How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that there are times when our words aren't enough? I find that a lot right now. That my words just aren't adequate for the burden that I'm feeling or for what God is speaking into me. And I want to just speak to the church, because we can come to church for a long time and be a Pentecostal people, and we receive part of what God has for us, but then because of feeling inadequate, feeling undone, feeling like we're not good enough, feeling like that was not for me, I'm not spiritual enough, he's not talking about me. And so we receive God's grace, we receive God's forgiveness. We know we're on our way to heaven and we love God, but we're struggling to get through life. We're feeling weak, we're feeling undone, and we have the very same Spirit of God dwelling in us. And what often happens is that we get so caught up in the gifts of the Spirit or how spiritual we are or the tongues, And we don't allow the rivers that are in us to flow out of us. They're in there. When you look over in Romans 8, he says, when we don't know how to pray in our weaknesses, when we are undone, when we're struggling, when we're floundering, when we're discouraged, when we have angst, when we have anxiety, when we don't even know what to ask for, the Spirit of God that is in us will pray through us, and he'll pray the perfect mind of the Father, the will of God, because he's that third person in the Godhead, and he'll help us. And I think if I could say anything to the church, release what you've been given. And I wouldn't, you know, we do focus so much on the tongues. Thank God for that. That's our prayer language he gives us. But we allow it to stop us. We're so worried that we're going to say the wrong thing, that it's going to be us. There's not a person in here that's been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that has not been tempted by that is just you. That language is not even a full language. You're just saying a few syllables. It's just you. You need to stop. Am I right? Yes. Because that prayer language that God gives you when you allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you confuses and confounds the enemy. He cannot understand it. And at the same time, you're building spiritual muscles because you're praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, you're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven. I'm not saying one that speaks in tongues and one that doesn't, that one is more spiritual than other or bearing more fruit than other. Please get what I'm saying. But I'm saying you and I have a helper. And we are living in the day when we need help. We need help. I was asking God tonight, help me. Help me with this message. Help me. Help me to hear. Help me to make sense. Help me to walk in your power and in your love and in your goodness. And inside of you is the very same Spirit that brought Christ out of the grave and defeated hell. And he's saying, I want to help you. I want to help you today. And Judas saying, because of the severity of the times, because of the deception, because of the coldness, because of the chaos, because of the darkness, because of all that's going on around you, pray in the Spirit. And build your most holy faith. Do not get under bondage tonight. Absolutely do not. You're a child of God on your way to heaven. All I'm saying is, you have a backhoe to dig your hole with. Why use a tablespoon? You have the power of God in you, helping you. And he said, if you will allow me in your weakness, I will pray through you. If you will help me, if you will allow me to help you, even be able to worship God in the beauty of holiness, let me flow through you. I have rivers that haven't even been released. Don't settle for a trickle. Here's the thing. The rivers are in you. Here's your valve. Here's your valve. You control this. You control it. I can go home and turn my faucet on, get all kinds of water. I can get in the shower and get me a good hot bath, or I can go in there and stand and get a washcloth and have no water at all. And the Lord is saying, I want to help you. I want to help you. His word teaches us how to pray. The more I looked into it, not only do we pray to build our most holy faith, allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us with tongues and things that cannot be uttered, but we pray with our understanding too. We pray with our understanding, we pray in the Spirit. We sing with our understanding, and we sing in the Spirit. We allow the Lord to move in us, but he teaches us to pray when we're suffering, we pray. when we lack wisdom, we're to pray. We're to pray for revelation and knowledge of the knowledge of God. We're to pray for inner strength. We're to pray that his kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to pray for daily provision. We're to pray repentance, and we're also to pray that God would help us to grant forgiveness. We're to watch and pray that we may not enter into temptation. We're to pray against evil, to be delivered from this dark world. We're to pray for unity. Jesus did. He prayed for unity, that there would be unity in the body. We need to pray for unity in our homes. We need to pray for unity in the church. A divided world needs to see a unified church. We may not agree on everything, but we can bear with one another in love and agree on the essentials of his word. We're to pray for discernment. We're to pray and intercede for those in authority. We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're to pray for one another. We're to pray for the sick. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he committed sins, he will be forgiven. So his word instructs us to pray in faith, to pray in the spirit, to pray without ceasing, to pray in agreement, to pray with expectancy, and to give thanks in all things. And every single one of these, the Holy Spirit will help us in. I have seen people that have struggled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just allowing the Spirit of God to pray through them. Sometimes we get afraid, that we begin to feel the Spirit of God moving up in us. We sense his presence, and we're afraid of what it's going to sound like, so we just don't open our mouth and we. But I have found one of the most powerful, prolific ways to release the Spirit of God in you is to pray for someone else. You're praying for someone else. I've seen people beautifully filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit when they have prayed for someone else and their words were not enough and their burden was heavy for that other person, and they just begin. Is this helping anybody? Amen. Is it helping anybody? There's just this passion in me that we just need to allow God to do something deep within us. He longs to. I read somewhere where this woman went with a cup after the things of God, and she was barren and feeling dry, and when she got there, God blessed her so much. She said, if I would have known he wanted to bless me like this, I would have brought a bucket. God wants to bless us with peace, with help, with strength. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life as children of God. And tonight he wants to do something within us. And the more we get the word in us, the more we understand about prayer and how to pray, and we understand the faithfulness of God and how God wants to help us even when we pray, when we look in his word, the more powerful prayer becomes in our life and the more a part of it it becomes. And it's not just something we do when we have a need or in the morning or at night or before a meal, but it begins to just have constant communion with the Lord because he loves us.